And now we'll look for the third time and final time for this Advent at Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, who's been our companion through Advent up to now. This is from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. God always blesses the reading of God's holy word. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us again. Meet us, shape us, shake us, encourage our spirits. Pray now that these words of mine wouldn't be my words, but they'd be your words, and the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pure and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, this Advent and always. And all God's people said, amen. Well, do you all remember Extreme Makeover Home Edition? How many of you have seen that? That show, you can Google it, and you can find it aired from 2004 to 2012, and it features a family, usually that has faced some sort of hardship, and they have their home completely remodeled to better suit their exact needs, and a team of people do this, and it's a total gift of grace. I've been thinking about Extreme Makeover Home Edition in two ways this week. One is just, what a cool thing. What an amazing gift. When I read this passage, I've thought about it. It meets a profound need in a beautiful way. Construction contractors partner to make a wonderfully new, habitable space for families in a time of great need. The other way I thought about this, though, was I'd heard in the past, and I looked it up again, that sometimes with these outcomes, it doesn't always go as well as expected with these extreme makeovers. And you can Google this and find controversy about Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Sometimes, and I quote, I read this, the combination of money issues, family trauma, and the stress of maintaining the new homes created a recipe for disaster for many families who received makeovers. The families who received homes from Extreme Home Makeover sometimes faced foreclosure and financial difficulties, leading to feelings of guilt and shame. So it was a mixed bag. There's some amazing things and some really hard things with Extreme Makeover Home Edition. And really, that's the story of humanity, right? That's kind of who we are. Stunning stories on a daily basis of, wow, look at that, look at that, look at that. And then, oh, not so much, not that's not so good. Pesky are the problems that afflict us. Even our best attempts to rehab ourselves and to help the world around us seem to come up short always in some way. Just when we think we're getting ahead in one way, there are other issues from another angle. It's relentless. We need an extreme makeover as a humanity, but we can't do it ourselves. We need help. We need intervention. Enter the prophet Isaiah. This is our third and final week on the prophet Isaiah in this Advent season. And Isaiah was a prophet living in the 8th century BC, who confronted sin and brought hope. It's a wild ride, as we've talked about, going through the book of Isaiah. Sometimes people ignore parts of it because it's such a freaky book in places that he'll be stern and hardcore and confrontational and then turn on a dime toward hope. Just from the first chapter of Isaiah, where God speaks through the prophet of through the prophet to Israel. God speaks through Isaiah to Israel in Isaiah chapter 1. He says this, when you spread out your hands in prayer, God says to Israel, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Confrontation in chapter 1 of Isaiah. But then soon on chapter 2, in chapter 2, God says to the same guy, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. It will be exalted. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. He will judge between nations. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up a sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Isaiah is a study in contrast, you see. Humanity's harsh reality and divine accountability for it, turning on a dime toward wild hope in God's inbreaking, unstoppable graces. Through the 40 years of Isaiah's ministry, God is straight up with Israel, essentially saying to Israel, buckle up, buttercup. You got to face the music for your sin. But then at the same time, God is also assuring Israel, I've still got you. And on the other side, of facing the music for your sin, there will be a new song of salvation. Stay tuned. Our reflections on Isaiah these past few weeks of Advent have come at different moments in this dynamic, this ebb and flow. Two Sundays back, in our first week in Isaiah, we heard the prophet basically say to God, help, help us. We need you to help us. We know you can. We're a mess, but you are our Father. Then last week in Isaiah, we heard God respond by saying essentially, take comfort, I'm on the way. Now this week, in Isaiah 61, we hear God announce, I am here now, and it's a new day. We've heard humanity's cry for help. We've heard God say, I'm on my way. And now we hear God saying, I'm here now, and it's a new day. One of the coolest parts of Extreme Makeover Home Edition is when the builders tell us exactly what their plans are. This family, you know, used to live in such a limited space. Now each kid's gonna get this room and this room and that room. They're gonna make a little stage for kids to play on, you know, and be creative. They're gonna make an outside area that's a grassy area with a wall, and each of the walls gonna have multiple stones in it that have words like love and grace and hope in them, that kind of a thing. It's exciting to hear the planners and the builders talk about the vision for how they're gonna bring a new day to this family. And that is Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 is the announcement of God's extreme home makeover plan, decades before it will actually happen. We need a makeover just like Israel. We can do what we can. We do what we can, however we can. But like with Israel, the relentless hardships described here, well, they're relentless. Poverty, broken hearts, captives, mourning, grieving. It's all too real for us. I know what people in this church go through. I heard stories just this week. It amazes me how hard life can be, just when I think I've heard it all. Israel had to feel so under the foot of these foreign powers. They were beaten. Well, they'd beaten themselves. And we, too, defeat ourselves. But into our self-defeat and sin, enter God. This is what we anticipate in Advent. We don't just take a leap in the dark. We light this candle of hope and then put it in front of us and look at what we see. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me Isaiah says, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news. And now, in Isaiah, we get the whole program of this new day. It's not for winners, but it's for the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the prisoners, all who mourn. Well, they now have good news of healing, freedom, favor, comfort, provision, rebuilding, restoring, renewing into a multifacetedly bad situation. God will bring a total transformation. Total. Of course, this passage itself never really came true in total in the whole story of Israel. Even when they got back from Babylon, and there's references here to concrete historical deliverance from Babylon, another power came along and Israel was able to go home. But the fullness of what was promised here doesn't really fit historically from the return from the exile. Israel got to go home, but there was still much here that's mentioned that never came to pass. When Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me," scholars point out, of course, that he's referring to himself in a limited sense, but they also point out there's another figure in view here. There's two layers of interpreting this. Isaiah talking about himself, but also enacting, expressing a model for one who would come later. The appearance of the messenger of joyful news in Isaiah 61:1, well, that becomes the entire program of Jesus' ministry starting in Luke chapter 4. Jesus, whose birth we celebrate next week. Well, when he got older and became an adult, he goes to a Nazareth synagogue, and he's handed a scroll, and he reads these words from our text, Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, Luke tells us, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The most beautiful moment on Extreme Makeover Home Edition, you know, is the big reveal. When the crowd would yell, "Move that bus!" And the bus was out of the way, and they see their brand new house. And there would be cheers and tears welling up from the crowd. A new day, a new start, lavish provision. These people feeling so loved in that moment. In Jesus, humanity's extreme home makeover arrives. After quoting part of our Isaiah passage in Luke chapter 4, Jesus says, remember, "Today this scripture is fulfilled." The late Bible scholar Leon Morris notes that the word "today" is really important here. Jesus' contemporaries did not doubt that God's kingdom would come someday. But Jesus' teaching was different in that he saw God as acting in the present in his own work as the Son. Not in the future age, but now is the captive power of sin to be broken. Not in the future age, but now is the communion with God to be established. Not in the future age, but now is the will of God to be done. In Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension as our King, our extreme makeover has arrived. This is the reveal. This is the reveal. We noted earlier how God, through Isaiah the prophet, in this first chapter of Isaiah, called on Israel basically to stop it. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Well, Israel just couldn't get that together, right? Israel had its moments of good, but on the whole, they missed the mark again and again, and that's our story too. Israel is us. We just can't seem to get our house in order. Even our best moments, like we said, our weaknesses and our failings, our debts, our overreaching, just like an extreme home makeover, they come back to bite us. We can't get our house in order, so God has to do it. And that is exactly what God does in Jesus. This is our big reveal that we're moving toward next Sunday evening. The beginning of the reveal in Advent. Jesus coming in the most improbable, outrageous of ways. The reveal coming in the form of a child in a feeding trough. a crying baby in a trough meant for animal slop. This is God's reveal to save us. This is how it begins. And in Advent, we remember that and the improbable, unbelievable grace of that. And in Advent, we collectively wait, anticipate the final reveal when he comes again to finish, to set all things right. And in the meantime, we live into what our Lord has done. And we do that in anticipation of what he will yet do. You know, when extreme homemaker folks, home makeover come in, they swarm a house, right? They set up camp. It's this wonderful beehive of activity. Likewise, that's church, right? We swarm the poor and the brokenhearted. We seek out the captive in the midst of whatever oppresses them. We connect with those in mourning and grieving and hold them in the midst of whatever they've lost. Not necessarily always with quick answers, but just with the love of God and the promise of God in Jesus Christ. And we don't have to do really a lot of building. We don't have to really build the house. We just have to live in it. That is to say, we have to live in him, in Jesus. When lives have been ruined by whatever, in and through Christ, we live as a grove of mighty oaks for people to take shelter in. Come here. Just come here. Come here. When despair drives people down, in and through Christ, we live as hope for a new day. And we remind people that in Christ, you are still favored. You may not feel like it, but you are favored and beloved. In this way, we as God's people fulfill the words of Isaiah when he says in verse 6, "You will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God." A little over 600 years later, the apostle Peter, who himself had his struggles and his ups and downs, nevertheless wrote to the early church, and he called them a royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood with a calling to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. I am senior pastor here at Muckleshoot Presbyterian Church, but every member here, every one of you is a minister in Jesus Christ. I once heard a church put a sign over the door. People could see it on their way out. And it said, "You are now entering the mission field." Israel is elect and chosen for the sake of the world. They're not just chosen by God to feel good about being chosen. They're chosen by God to bless other people. Israel's election by God is an evangelical election. It's a calling. So is ours. As people chosen in Christ, here because God made the first move, we are remade priests in him. And everywhere we go is a reveal. In between Christ's first and second coming, we are each venues for his reveal in the world. I guarantee it, he is at work revealing himself in and around you as his ambassador. The question is, what kind of bus is in the way, right? Move that bus. We got to see it. Like on the show, Extreme Makeover, they got to get that bus out of the way so they can see the house. We got to get things out of the way in our lives and out of the way in other people's lives so they can see it. Look what he's doing over here. Over here, can you see it? That's what he's doing. What is blocking you from seeing the new that God is doing in and through you as expressed in the promise of this passage? What gets in the way of you sharing that with others? While God's new work will not be completed, of course, until his second coming, it has begun. It is underway. God is most definitely at work through the inbreaking reign of Jesus Christ to bring renewal to devastation, to rebuild what is broken, and to share and display the splendor of his grace and good news of favor to a hurting world. This has begun in Christ. The house is going up. The Spirit is moving to draw God's people to swarm in hope and bring light to a world that needs it. Can you see it? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is at work, and we get to participate in that. May it be so for you and for me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen.